It's a school day. Know what that means? You're going to be making lunch today. What is it that we all hate about making lunch? And how can we make it better? That's what we've got coming up. We're talking Making School Lunches with the Scramble's Jessica Brader.
You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up.
My name is Jessica Brader, and I'm the CEO of The Scramble.
The Scramble's an online meal planning company dedicated to helping us cook and eat better as a family. While Jessica's jam is the family dinner, she also knows a thing or two about making lunch. And not just any lunch, but lunches that are easy to make and that our kids will actually eat.
I see it as an important meal, not only to get nutrition into our kids, but also to teach them about healthy eating and balanced eating. But the reality is packing lunches day in, day out can be a real slog.
What is it about lunches? I mean, you know, I can remember waking up in the morning and just dreading it. What is it?
So I think it is that daily aspect to it. But I think the other part of it is it's that meal that we're not sitting with our kids for. And so we pack things up and send them off. And then a lot of times it will come back uneaten, or you find yourself just making the same thing every single day. And it starts to just grind on you, and you sort of worry, am I doing it right? Am I providing enough nutrition? And you're not there to sort of monitor and support them as they make choices. So it can really feel like a thankless task, I think.
No, it's funny because there was actually a study done about this, and it said something like, survey finds packing lunch is the most stressful thing on parents' back-to-school list, which I think is hilarious.
Totally. I think that's true. And I think especially there's just more and more pressure on parents to make sure that every single piece of food that goes into their kids' mouths is super, super healthy. And so that added pressure of what am I going to pack, and is it going to be Pinterest worthy and just gorgeous, and is everyone going to love it? And is it going to come back clean? And I won't have wasted any food. There are just all these worries that go along with it, that it can really be overwhelming.
You know, that's a really interesting starting point, the Pinterest worthy, because we all know bento boxes became a thing, you know, flowers and hearts and all of these things. So let's take some of the pressures off of moms and dads who are packing lunch. What don't they have to worry about?
I think the first thing is I feel very strongly that you don't have to worry about it looking perfect. The reality is those pictures on Pinterest, they're staged, you know, they're taken. And then if you put the lid on most of those bento box pictures you see, the food would get crushed. They're overflowing. Kids are going to be in a social situation when they're eating lunches. They're going to be talking to their friends. They're going to be distracted. And so when they look down at the food, it's not so much about it being a smiley face that's looking up at them. It's about it being an appealing taste that they're going to want to eat and be motivated to eat. So I think that, you know, just taking that pressure off it looking right is one thing. And then the other thing I would say is that if you think about it in terms of a long game, that what we really want to be doing is raising healthy eaters who have a lifelong, healthy, and happy relationship with food. Every meal does not need to be perfect. A lot of pediatricians will tell you, don't focus in on every single meal being perfect or even every single day being perfect. Think about it as a full week, or think about it even as a full month, to just take that pressure off of having everything be perfect all the time.
Does that mean that there's a place in your strategy for a week's worth of meals for convenience foods within reason?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I like to say is that I think that there is a simple formula for a healthy lunch. That is a main dish, and that could be a sandwich, or it could be leftovers, or it could be a quesadilla, and we can talk about lots of different lunch ideas later. But you have that main dish, and then you have a fruit, and you have a vegetable. Or you might have two fruits or two vegetables, depending on your kid. And then I really like to include an extra. And that's where those convenience foods can come in. That's the thing, that if everything else that's being offered is relatively healthy, then throw in those goldfish or that small cookie. That's just going to make it about being a well-rounded, enjoyable meal, and not one that's based on good or bad foods, but is just a meal that your child is going to enjoy.
I'm sure that comes as a relief to a lot of parents, because we are so preconditioned to think that any processed food is going to be a bad thing.
Absolutely. And for me, it's all about balance. If we have a healthy relationship with food, there are going to be times where we have those quote unquote cheat foods, or whatever you want to call them. That's right. It's about balance. Just like we can't you know, work all the time. We have to have playtime. Food should be that way too. It can't all be perfect and absolutely healthy. You've got to have that balance and that food remains enjoyable and fun and not a moral issue in your life.
One of the other things about convenience foods is they're very durable. You know, you just throw them in and you know that they're going to, aside from getting crushed, they're going to last.
Yes.
And there are some things that are kind of challenging, like fruit. If you have small children, you know, a whole apple may not work, but if you cut it up into slices, it doesn't look very appealing. So how do you deal with things like that?
Yeah. So a couple different thoughts about that. For the specific example that you gave of apples, one fun trick is that you can sprinkle a tiny bit of lemon juice on top and it will prevent it from going brown. But another thing you can do is sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon on top. And then even if it does go brown, they won't be able to tell, but it makes it apple cinnamon apple slices, which is really fun. The other thing I would say is that one of my favorite tricks for that food spoilage problem, which so many of us struggle with, is frozen fruits. So, you know, instead of serving fresh blueberries, you could do some plain yogurt and put some frozen blueberries on top of it. And by the time they get to lunchtime, those frozen blueberries will have thawed and turned it into a fruit yogurt. And so they'll be really excited about that. But you also don't have to worry about making sure that you use up all those berries before they go bad in your kitchen. And then the other thing that I like to do with my kids is talk through what they'd like to eat in the week so that we can sort of plan out and I can buy based on the kiwis are going to go bad quickly. Let's get those in early in the week. And then we'll depend on those apples that are more stable for later in the week. Making sure that I have a list of stuff with the kids that they're open and eager to eat can be really helpful.
You brought up an interesting thing when you talk about asking the kids what they want, which sounds like if you want to get them to eat, you put things that you know are going to be appetizing to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At what point should children be participating even more in this lunch making thing?
What I like to say is that kids should be involved in their decision makings about food from the very, very beginning. Even at 18 months, letting them sort of explore foods and start to show their preferences and you sort of engage in dialogue with them about that is really helpful. Definitely by preschool, I would be sitting down with your kid and sort of saying, what would you like to have in your lunch? And sometimes they'll list things that aren't possible, and that's fine. But you can come up with a master list that then you can just sort of rotate through. Or, you know, at the beginning of every week, you can say, would you like to have bananas or oranges in your lunch this week as you're making your grocery list? And then I would say, as they get to sort of pre-K and kindergarten, you can really start involving them in the packing of their lunches. So in the morning, having them pick out that piece of fruit and watch you cut it up, or you pre-slice carrot sticks on the weekend, and then they get to put them into their lunches so that they're having a hand in starting to pack that lunch can be really helpful. And then by early elementary, my kids were packing their own lunches. And so I would set it up for success so that things were ready to grab. But by asking them to do it themselves, they had a lot more sense of control and ownership over that lunch. And I found that they were much more likely to actually eat it.
You also got a little bit of a breather from the job that none of us like to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, exactly. And so what I like to do is on the weekends, I'll prep a little bit so that things are easy to grab and go, like those carrot sticks, or I'll, you know, cook up a bunch of frozen edamame so that it's ready to just grab from the fridge. But then I really let them have the ownership over it, and it just makes life so much easier. I don't have that, you know, waking up with dread moment in the morning of what am I going to pack? And they have that sense of ownership. And so it really works beautifully for my family.
What about the night before strategy? I mean, there are people that swear by having it done before you go to bed at night. Is that practical?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's really what works for your family. I personally like to pack it in the morning of, but I think if it's going to make life easier in the mornings, absolutely pack it the evening before. And there are now so many great products out there to help keep it cool for the whole day, or prepackaged in small containers so you can just grab those containers and pop them in a lunchbox. Do it how it's going to work for your family. That's really the bottom line. Figure out what's going to work for your family and then stick with it, and that will be good enough.
Good enough is so important. That is the concept that we as parents really need to embrace. Why is it so hard to do that?
I think, you know, there's just a lot of pressure on us to be the perfect parents all the time. And whether it's messaging through social media or parenting listservs, there's just this constant discussion about how we need to be doing things better. And I think that we need to be kind to ourselves and realize, you know, that we are doing the best we can, and that it's more important for us to be happy and show that balanced sort of perspective for our kids than it is to have things come out absolutely perfect all the time.
Again, the bento boxes.
Again, the bento boxes, exactly.
Let's talk some tips and tricks, because this is what, you know, families really need. You already talked about cutting up carrot sticks and preparing edamame. Are there other things that you can prepare yourself to throw in the freezer that will thaw out during the day, or other great, you know, freezer ideas? Because I love that idea. That is such a brilliant concept.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much you can do with your freezer. So some of the things that I really love to do for my family, and I have recommended to families for years and years, are on the weekends, bake up a lot of muffins or make ahead soups or casseroles. And then what you'll do is, let's sort of go step by step. So for muffins, for example, you can make a double batch of muffins, and you can really pack those with lots of great stuff. You can put bananas and spinach into those muffins, and you can call them the Incredible Hulk muffins and they'll be green, or you could call them Ninja Turtle muffins, whatever's going to work for your kids. You can make banana bread muffins. You can make all kinds of different whole grain muffins. And then they're in your freezer. You just pull them out frozen and they'll defrost by lunchtime. You can do the same thing with soups or smoothies. And I really like to make big batches of smoothies and then freeze them in individual pouches. And then they can serve as your ice pack, and then they'll be defrosted, and then you've got your fruit and veggie serving ready to go for your kid. You can also do things like baked burritos or calzones. Any sort of like pockety kind of food can freeze really well. And then again, you just take it out, throw it in frozen, and it'll be defrosted by lunchtime. One of my personal favorites is our baked chimichangas. And I will just throw in whatever leftovers I have at the end of the week with some beans and some cheese. And it could be roasted veggies. It could be leftover chicken. Whatever I've got, I'll throw into them, make a big mixture, roll up some tortillas so they sort of look like burritos, bake them. And then once they're cooled to room temperature, I can just throw them into a Ziploc bag and then pull them out as I need them throughout the week.
That smoothie idea is genius. That is a great idea. Now, what about, I mean, you talked about, you know, putting these things in Ziploc bags. Are there any other, like, can you use ice cream trays for certain things? Are there, you know, any other?
Oh yeah, totally. Absolutely. One of the things that I really like to do, especially for the fall and winter, is I'll make batches of tomato soup or a pureed vegetable soup, and I will freeze it in smaller containers. So it could be small glass containers. It could be reusing yogurt containers is a great thing to do for soups. And you can just use those individual containers, and that's the perfect size for a little kid's tummy. And then you'll pull it out the evening before to defrost it, heat it up, throw it in a thermos, and throw in, you know, a muffin or some crackers, and that's a complete meal ready to go. Ice cube trays, one of the things that I really love to do is to make up little combinations of fruit. So instead of buying the expensive mixed fruit packs, I'll buy some blueberries and some raspberries, and I'll make my own combos. And then I'll just pop one of those frozen cubes out and throw it into some yogurt, and then it will be defrosted by lunchtime.
Another great idea. I want to go back to soup for a minute, though, because doesn't it have to get heated up?
Yeah. What you do is you take it out in the night before so it defrosts, and then you'll just heat it up in a saucepan, or you can put it into a glass container to heat it in the microwave, then just throw it into a thermos, and within 30 seconds or a minute, you're ready to go.
This is such a good idea. Let's move from the freezer to the bread box for a minute. How do we deal with the sandwich?
There's a couple things that I'll say about sandwiches. One is there is one freezer sandwich that's a really great one, which is peanut butter and jelly. So you can make up, you know, a whole loaf's worth of peanut butter and jellies and wrap them in parchment paper or wax paper, throw them into a Ziploc bag and put them in the freezer. And then you can pull them out and they'll be defrosted by lunchtime. So that's just a fun freezer sandwich trick. But for other sandwiches, that's a place where I really want to include my kids in the making of the sandwiches, because I have found that they're much more likely to eat them if they have a hand in making them. So I encourage them to think about what condiments do they like that can be a little different. Like, do they want to use hummus instead of mayonnaise? or do they want to use pesto instead of mayonnaise, or a little bit of both? And just trying to get them to think a little bit outside the box can be really helpful. I also am a big believer in trying to use whole grain bread, or at least partially whole grain bread, whenever possible, because it just gives that extra fiber that's going to keep your kid's belly full for longer until they'll be able to focus better and do better in the afternoon until they can get home for a snack or whatever.
We'll get more of Jessica's lunch ideas in just a sec, but first I want to tell you about Bright Horizons' other podcast series, Teach, Play, Love. Each episode features advice from our own childhood expert, Education Vice President Rachel Robertson. The latest episode goes hand in hand with our chat today, all about helping your child develop healthy eating habits from an early age. Be sure to check it out. Teach, Play, Love is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Now, let's pick up our conversation with Jessica. She was just about to tell us about her ideas for mixing up sandwiches.
The other thing that I encourage parents to do is play around with the sandwiches. Try a different kind of bread. Maybe it's a whole grain bagel instead of sliced bread, or maybe it's using whole grain tortillas and doing wraps instead of a sandwich. So trying to sort of break out of the just sliced bread can be a really fun way to make something that is familiar enough that your kid is willing to try it, but a little bit different. And so it expands their horizons a little bit.
That was actually something that we did when my kids were young, is we had whole grain bagels that I cut in half and put in the freezer, and they would just take them out and bring peanut butter and cream cheese and assemble when they got to school.
Exactly. Yep. And another one that my kids really love that's a little bit different is the cheese platter, is what we like to call it. So we will slice up some different cheeses, like some cheddar, or recently one of my kids has been really into goat cheese. And we'll put some of that into the box along with some whole grain crackers, and then some pickles or some olives or whatever fun condiments kind of things your kid likes. And then they can build their own little mini sandwiches at school.
Oh, little finger sandwiches. That's adorable.
And it's really fun and interactive and just a little bit different. I think kids really like that. Sort of like the Lunchables that were around when we were kids, but a healthier version of that.
Well, can I just say, that's quite the sophisticated palate too.
You'd be really surprised, because it's, you know, salty is appealing. And so letting your kids explore those flavors can be really eye-opening experience when you find that they really love pickles or olives or whatever.
You know, we've talked a lot about your ideas, but I'm guessing you probably get asked a lot of questions by parents. What kind of things do you hear that might help our listening audience?
One of the things that I get asked a lot is, what do I do about the food that comes home uneaten? I think that is one that can really be sort of soul crushing, is you've spent all this time thinking about lunches or creating a system so that it goes more smoothly, and then they don't eat the food. And what do you do with that? There are two things that I respond when I hear that question. One is, that's my first step in afternoon snacks, is I ask my kids to pull out their lunch boxes and we check out what they haven't eaten. And if there are things in there that haven't gone totally mushy and brown and yucky, then that's the first step in afternoon snack, is to finish up your lunch. And that way we're just not dumping lots of stuff, you know, into the trash and feeling crummy about that. But the other thing that I have learned from watching my kids pack their own lunches, and I have seen other parents talk about this as well, is oftentimes we overpack and give our kids too much food in their lunch boxes. Lunches in schools are actually very short a lot of the time, sometimes even only 20 minutes. So there isn't that much time, especially since it's also a social time. So giving them less food and then seeing how much comes back. And sort of, if you're worried about them getting really hungry, then just do it in little incremental pieces of making it a little bit less each time. And then find that sweet spot where the lunchbox comes back either totally empty or just a little bit of food left. And you might be surprised at how little food is actually necessary, especially in the earlier elementary years. Right now, my 11-year-old is going through a growth spurt. And so he was actually coming home saying, like, I need more food. Then he was building those lunches. And so he was adding in more stuff that would be appealing. And that was working out well. But for those little bellies, they actually really don't need that much food. It's really only half a sandwich that they're probably going to need rather than a full sandwich. Or half an apple, like you mentioned earlier, rather than a full apple. And starting just to pay attention to that can be really helpful in that food waste issue, which can be so frustrating.
So there's a little bit of trial and error here.
Absolutely. And self-forgiveness. You know, it's not going to be perfect, and that's fine. you will find that right balance for yourself and your child.
So you segued into a perfect subject that I was actually asked about this morning. Snacking, because snacking is sometimes kids are going through not just one, but two, three, sometimes more snacks in a single day. How do you counsel families on that?
Yeah, that's actually one of my passions. I think that we really have sort of lost track of how much food we're offering our kids. So they never really have an opportunity to get hungry and learn those hunger cues. You know, if you think about the school day for, especially for preschoolers and early elementary kids, you know, they have breakfast at home. Sometimes they go to school and there's a breakfast offered. So they might have a second breakfast and then they have a morning snack and then they have lunch and then there's an afternoon snack either in aftercare or at home. And if you're picking your kid up from aftercare at 5 o'clock in the evening and they're tired and cranky, you're likely like throwing, you know, goldfish over your shoulder, trying to keep them stable. And then you get home and then you want them to eat dinner. And there just isn't room in their bellies for all of that food. And so one of the things that I really encourage parents to do is on the weekends when you're with your kids from start to finish for the day, sort of pay attention to how much they're really eating and when they get hungry. And then as you're packing up those snacks or those lunches, sort of keep that quantity in mind. And you might be surprised at the smaller quantities that you really need to offer, especially because that food is being offered so frequently throughout the day.
That is a really good idea. In terms of the snacks that you do need to pack up, what do you suggest for energy boosters for kids?
I really recommend doing some sort of combination of produce and protein. So it might be apple with peanut butter, or it might be a cheese stick and some apple slices, or it could be a smoothie, which has got some yogurt mixed in as well. Really trying to find a combination, because that combination of fiber from the produce and the protein is what's going to really help them to sort of maintain that steady blood sugar level so they don't have a crash, maintain their focus, give them that wholehearted energy rather than a sugar high that might lead to a crash later.
Yeah, so this is not the time for that cookie that we talked about earlier.
Right, exactly. That cookie in a lunch makes sense, but at snack time, because there's that slightly emptier belly, it's going to be more likely to add to that hyper sugar rush or whatever, and then a crash.
I mean, as a practical matter, though, kids do like sweet things in moderation, but for those sweet tooths during, you know, snack time, what would you recommend there?
Yeah, so that's where I think some yogurt mixed with frozen berries can be really great, or a smoothie, or a muffin that's made with either half whole wheat flour or fully whole wheat flour, where you still have got that little bit of sweetness and you've got those carbohydrates, which the kids are drawn to. That can be a really great option. Or you can also, if, you know, cookies are going to be the thing, you could try like a oatmeal cookie that's made with whole grains and has got some dried cranberries or raisins mixed in and some nuts mixed in, so that you're getting a more wholesome cookie experience, but it's still that cookie that's going to make the kid happy and excited to eat it.
You know, we all know chocolate makes everybody happy. So if you're making a muffin, for example, with a whole grain flour, can you throw in some chocolate chips and feel good about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do it all the time. Definitely. And another thing I will say is sometimes my extra treat in a school lunch is a couple of chocolate chips, and they'll feel like they're getting something really special, but it's just 10 chocolate chips, you know? But yeah, absolutely. Mix in a little bit of chocolate or put some honey on something. Kids are pre-programmed to be drawn to sweetness. Their taste buds are pre-programmed for that. And we've got to work with that rather than battle it.
Yeah, I think I read that. So doesn't that date back to like our caveman ancestors or something?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So during the hunter-gatherer times, kids were left to fend for themselves while parents went out to gather food. And so in fending for themselves, the safest thing to eat were sweet berries. And the way that they could tell what was safe was that it was sweet, because the poisonous ones would be bitter or sour. Kids' taste buds are literally programmed to go to that sweet spot because it's safe. That's just the reality of what we're working with. And so we've got to find ways to healthfully support that and then slowly encourage the expanding of their palates so that they become used to those other flavors. But they really are pre-programmed to be drawn to those things.
Which is just the coolest thing, really, when you think about it.
Totally.
One of the things you talked about a minute ago with chocolate chips, if you want to, you know, throw something in special. So there are special occasions for kids, you know, a birthday or Valentine's Day or whatever, that you want to do something a little bit different? Do you have special lunches up your sleeve that are still easy, but that, you know, fill that need?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. One of my favorites is to do calzones, like mini calzones. So basically it's pizza, and that can feel really special. If you're taking your marinara, one of my favorite tricks is as you're heating up your marinara sauce, whether it's jarred or homemade, it doesn't matter. You can take some frozen broccoli or frozen spinach, throw it in there, and then use an immersion blender or a regular blender to puree it. And then you've gotten a little bit of a nutritional boost wrapped into that sauce that you then put into calzones or homemade pizzas. You can even do super quick pizzas on tortillas in the morning. And that can be a really fun, or another one my kids like is pizzadillas, which are quesadillas with pizza sauce and mozzarella cheese in them. And those take, you know, 5 minutes to make, but they'll feel a little bit special.
But the key to all of this really is being prepared so that it's just grab and go.
I'm all about grab and go. It's just going to make life so much easier. But, you know, one of my kids' favorites is definitely quesadillas. And those are really going to be better if they're made the morning of. There are things you can do to set up for success with that. Same with wraps, where you pre-prepare the ingredients that are going to be used. So maybe you pre-shred the cheese, or you make sure that there are some black beans that are drained that they can put in there, or encourage them to throw in a little bit of baby spinach or something if they're open to that. But that can then just be quickly made in the toaster oven, and it will only take about 3 minutes, and it can be going while they're eating their breakfast or whatever. Pre-preparing at least the ingredients that are going to go in will really save you time and effort in the mornings.
So I just want to go back to the beginning here, because you've given a lot of really great advice. I'm just curious, what led you to this place to do this? Because you're obviously so good at it.
So in my previous life, I was a social worker and I worked with kids. And then when I had my own kids, it was time for me to sort of transition away from trauma work and focus on something that would give my own personal life a little bit more balance. And I actually sent an email out to all of my closest friends and colleagues and said, if you could see me doing anything, what would it be? And everyone wrote back and said something with food. That just felt like the universe was giving me this sign that this is what I was supposed to do. And so I actually went back to school and became a certified health coach and started working with families on these issues of how do we raise healthy, happy eaters? How do we make getting dinner on the table easy every night? How do we pack those school lunches so they're not going to be overwhelming or the same thing day in, day out? And it's just been so much fun to experiment and to explore and to work with families who are at all different stages in this journey and really learn about how different families make this work for themselves, because every family is different and every family has different needs. And it's such a joy to be able to work with families on these issues.
You know, there's one other issue that we haven't touched on, and I know it's something that you talk about on The Scramble, which is money. I mean, in a way, you can do almost anything if you're willing to spend a lot for it, but obviously most families don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm really passionate about how we save money and how we do this and both keep our sanity and keep our wallets in check. And some of the things that I really like to do are plan ahead. I think meal planning will really save you a lot of time and money in the long run, because you're going to be saving on food waste and you're also not going to go out to eat as much as you might otherwise. So planning is really key. And then the other thing that I like to recommend to people is when you see something that you know that your family really depends on, a staple, and it's on sale, buy it in bulk. Tortillas, for instance, they can be frozen really well. Bread freezes really well. So buy those things in bulk so that you can use them over time and use leftovers in other things. For instance, if you roasted up some broccoli for dinner one night and you've got some leftovers, then that can be a great veggie to add into a lunch, or it could be put into a sauce, or it could be wrapped up into those chimichangas I talked about earlier, or it could be put into calzones, but really try to repurpose the stuff you've already put the time and effort and money into making. And that will save you a lot in the long run. And then the other thing is I do a lot of price comparison. You know, sadly, already I have to go to at least 2 grocery stores a week. So I compare the prices at both and I know which one has cheaper milk and which one has cheaper butter and which one has cheaper eggs, and I'll sort of keep track of that a little bit.
It sounds like the secret that families really need is a good size and high quality freezer.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it could be, so in my family, we have 2 refrigerators, one in the kitchen and one in our garage. It could be that, or it could be a box freezer that you use. If you have the space, it will make things a lot easier.
I really value what you were talking about regarding a healthy relationship with food, that it's not just packing food, that it's setting a foundation. That's something we talk about very often in our centers at Bright Horizons, that the kids have food choices and family style meals, and something that you spoke about earlier, that this is an opportunity to talk to children about food and to encourage them to be part of the experience versus just having food handed to them.
Absolutely. And as you get your kids involved in packing their own lunches, and you're giving them that guidance of one main dish, one fruit, one vegetable, and one extra, they're learning about that balance. And, you know, sometimes my kids go through phases where they don't want vegetables, and so we'll do two fruits, and that's fine too. But just helping them to understand what makes up a healthy, happy diet, and then understanding that there is flexibility in that so that they can really explore new flavors and new tastes and come back to their favorites. And all of that is worthwhile and important. And helping them to really learn that lesson early on, rather than struggling with, you know, the negative messaging that so many of us got about good foods and bad foods and things like that. That instead, if we just talk about foods and how we find balance in what we eat, that is a much more balanced and happy message that we can be sending our kids as they start to create their own identities around food.
Are there any final thoughts that you have for moms and dads?
Yeah. The only other thought that I have is that sometimes parents will talk to me about their kids getting stuck in a food rut and only wanting the same thing every single day. They'll worry, like, is that okay or is it not okay? And what I like to say to parents is, we all go through those phases, but what we can do is encourage them to explore by maybe changing up one item in the lunch every day. Maybe it's having that bagel and cream cheese or that peanut butter and jelly every day, but let's try and change up the fruit option or the vegetable option. Or maybe they're going through a carrot stick phase. Okay, fine, but let's try and change up the main dish. There is a little bit of that flexibility, because as they learn that flexibility and as they learn to sort of rotate through different foods, that's when their palates can really start to expand and they can become used to the idea of trying new things and embarking on new flavors and experiences. Having to come up with breakfasts and lunches and dinners every single day can really start to feel like a grind. And so finding ways to make that easier is just going to make everyone happier.
It really is like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, you count down those last days of June, and then September's here, and all of a sudden you're starting 180 lunches per kid again.
Exactly. I wrote a blog post at the beginning of the summer about that, that, you know, I felt this release as the school year was ending. I get to stop making school lunches. And then I realized the next week that I had to start with summer camp lunches right away. So that's a great metaphor. I love it.
We hope this helps you up your lunch game. You can find more of Jessica's meal planning strategies and helpful food tips for your entire family at thescramble.com. If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.